first and 10 under heavy pressure. And throws, has his man. It's Foster, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown.
Is this thing on? Because it's about to be. My goodness, did I really just go full Rex Ryan impersonation to start my career? The first words I said as the host of the Locked On Bills podcast was a Rex Ryan impersonation. I should probably resign after that, but you know what? I'm not going to, because I am way too excited about becoming the host of the Locked On Bills podcast. I'm Joe Marino. I'm from the Draft Network. That's my full-time job. And I'm excited now to expand what I do in football media to the Locked On Bills podcast. This has been something I've always wanted to do. I got my career started in football media with Bills analysis. And you may have saw my work at BuffaloBillsDraft.com. That's what fuels my passion, is the Buffalo Bills. I'm a Buffalo native. I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. And I happen to work in other football media, so my focus is the NFL draft with the Draft Network. But I always have this itch to get into the Bills. And if you follow my work on the Draft Network, you're going to see that I do cover the Bills quite a bit. I write about them a fair amount. And, I just kind of can't get enough. And so if I could do a daily podcast talking about the Bills, I'm here for that. I'm going to do that. And so that's what I'm here for. I'm here to deliver you a daily Bills podcast. I know it's the off season, but that doesn't matter. We're not going to have an off season here with the Locked On Bills podcast. The Bills enter this off season with $87 million in cap space. That's the third most in the NFL. We've got 10 draft picks, number 9, 40, 75, 106, 127, 137, 148, 168, 203, and 206. The Bills have an extra fourth, fifth, and seventh round pick this year right now as it stands. Those numbers will change a bit when we start seeing the compensatory picks come out. That'll push those later picks down a bit. Also, some of those picks are owned by other teams, and so the final weeks of the playoffs will dictate that a little bit. But we got a lot. We got a lot going on. We've also got an exciting young roster. This is year three of Sean McDermott coming up, year two of Josh Allen, a team that has a lot of exciting young pieces on it. And there's just going to be a ton to talk about this offseason, and I'm here to do that for you. I, as somebody who's from Buffalo, I grew up on Grand Island. I moved to Charlotte in the late 90s. I still have a lot of family in Buffalo, and I know how important this team is to the community. I know how demanding the Bills Mafia is for the analysis that covers the team. I know how much you care about not only the big free agent acquisitions, the draft picks, how the team's performing on the field, but you care about the color of the shoelaces. And so I hope that this will be the podcast that you'll go to that covers every single bit of it with a lot of passion and energy and great analysis. And that's what I aim to do, to deliver that for you on a daily basis here on the Locked On Bills podcast. I have a lot planned. Today, what I want to do is just get into the off-season news, the early off-season news for the Bills, and kind of give you some of my takes on that, give you some analysis on that. And then starting tomorrow through the next weeks, we're going to go position by position. We're going to talk about this roster, talk about the building blocks, the free agents, what those players are, what they can be going into the future, one position group at a time. I got a lot going on personally in terms of I'll be at the Shrine Game next week, and I'll be at the Senior Bowl the following week. So a lot of specific coverage on that, who the Bills are looking at, who I can talk to there around the organization. Every year I go to the Senior Bowl, I see, you know, Sean McDermott in the past. I've seen Brandon Bean and Doug Whaley, obviously, in the past. So, you know, there's some access there. So I'm going to do everything I can to give you every Bills nugget I can from being at those events in the coming weeks, while working in, you know, a comprehensive look at each position group, and of course any important news that comes up with the Bills over the next few weeks. So you have a lot to look forward to. Before we get into our first segment, I want to tell you about our sponsor today, which is MyBookie. The NFL playoffs are here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Don't be that guy with no rooting interest as your friends and relatives are sitting around watching games. Not this year. Not with Super Bowl 53 right around the corner. It's really the most wonderful time of the year. Make sure you're ready for the daily action by signing up for MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win. Ownership really cares about good customer service, and they offer the craziest props. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money during this playoff season, you've got to go to MyBookie. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out for yourself. Join now, and MyBookie will offer you a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll for the playoffs. Use our promo code LOCKEDON25 when you deposit to activate that offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON25. At MyBookie, you play, you win, and you get paid. We'll be right back after this to get into our first segment. Here we go. So the first segment today, I want to get into the coach changes, right? We've seen the Bills let go of three coaches this offseason. First off, Danny Crossman, the special teams coordinator. He's been with the team since 2013, and he's been part of three different coaching staffs under Doug Marrone, under Rex Ryan, and under Sean McDermott. And if anybody watched any Bills games this year, you knew the special teams were a liability. In the punting game, the Bills were terrible. Three different punters could not flip the field position with consistently, could not pin opponents deep, shanked punts left and right. I mean, that was just the start of it. The punt returning situation was adventurous at times with Ray McDonald back there at times, and just different, you know, Micah Hyde basically became a glorified punt catcher, which was really important just so that Buffalo knew it could take over with the ball and not have an adventure, a fumble, a muff. Bills lost a game this year, the Texans game, largely because they couldn't field punts. The coverage units, the kick coverage, the punt coverage, it was all terrible. The penalties, what percentage of the Bills' plays this year on special teams resulted in a penalty? It was maddening. It was frustrating. And so I don't think there's one person in the world that's going to say Danny Crossman deserved to continue as the special teams coordinator for this team. And so they moved on from him appropriately, and hopefully there's a good replacement on the way. Obviously, some investments will need to be made on the special teams. The Bills need a new punter. It cannot continue. Obviously, Colton Schmidt's not the answer. Corey Baroquez is not the answer. Matt Darr, the guy they brought in late the season, he's not the answer. The Bills need to invest in a punter this offseason, whether it's with that $87 million in cap space, whether that's with one of those mid-round draft picks. It's time to get a punter in there. It's time to get the next Brian Moorman, right? I mean, Brian Moorman tanked off at the end of his career, but there was a time where the Bills had a good punting game from Chris Moore to Brian Moorman. And it's been a problem since. And so being able to win in the kicking game, in the special teams, particularly in the punting game, is going to matter a ton for this young football team to win those hidden yards and give it every chance to succeed. Now, I'm fine with Steven Hauschka. I'm fine with him. But Danny Crossman, by and large, didn't get enough production out of the punting game, the kick return game, the kick coverage, the punt coverage, all bad. All bad. Got to go get a new young mind in there. Bills also moved on from offensive line coach Juan Castillo. And here's the thing, not just the offensive line coach. He was a run game coordinator. And outside of Josh Allen running with the football, Bills' rush offense was bad, really bad. I mean, I know that Shady was banged up and his skills diminished a bit this year. Really nothing dynamic outside of him. Chris Ivory's a banger between the tackles. Marcus Murphy has, you know, he's flashy, but he's not a guy that can be a featured part of the offense. Keith Ford really struggled in his one game. And the Bills just, I mean, it's the backs are not dynamic. That's a problem. But it's also this offensive line. The run blocking wasn't there. The bodies were not getting moved out of the way so that these running backs can produce. And I think when you think about Juan Castillo and what I think the silver lining is, obviously the production in the run game is very disappointing this past season, but the young talent that didn't develop. Deion Dawkins looked like he was going to be a star as a rookie. I'm very optimistic about his future, but he took a step back this year. I don't think Juan Castillo got the best out of Deion Dawkins in year two, where he should have taken a step forward, and he probably regressed a touch. looking forward to seeing him in year three. We'll talk about him when we break down the offensive line more specifically, but Deion Dawkins didn't get better this year. You know, another guy that didn't get better is John Miller, right guard, or some left guard. You know, he's played both. And he's a player that I know worked really hard this offseason to position himself to start, and he got that opportunity, and he's a free agent, and I'm sure he wants to sign a big contract with somebody, but he didn't take the next step forward. John Miller is a guy that I thought coming out of Louisville could be a good run blocker, and he's never become that. He's been benched, and he's come back into the lineup, and he really didn't perform well. The other guy's Ryan Groy. Ryan Groy won that starting job out of camp, beat out Russell Bodine, and Ryan Groy struggled in games, and the offensive line was better when Russell Bodine was the center. And then obviously Russell Bodine got hurt, Ryan Groy came back in, and remember when we were nervous about Ryan Groy leaving as a restricted free agent, where the Bills had to match the contract offer that the Rams gave him when Cromer went over there, and they were all so happy, oh gosh, Ryan Groy, he filled in so well for Eric Wood, need him, we need him. Well, he got his chance to play extensively again, and with Juan Castillo as his offensive line coach, he didn't grow. He was a liability for the offensive line. So for me, my disappointment with Juan Castillo specifically this year is that Deion Dawkins, John Miller, Ryan Groy, they didn't take that next step. And we need an offensive line coach that can develop and get the most out of the young talent. Obviously, there's going to be some investments made there this offseason, whether it's in free agency, whether it's in the draft. But getting new personnel and a new offensive line coach, hopefully, is the solution to getting the front five in front of Josh Allen figured out. Another coach, the other coach, the third coach, the final coach, it seems at this point, that the Bills have moved on from is wide receiver coach Terry Robiskie. And, you know, what's interesting about Robiskie is I just never saw this fit as being a very good one in terms of him and Sean McDermott. I tweeted about this, and I made the point, as you know, I just was kind of perplexing that this would be the guy that Sean McDermott identified to be the receivers coach for the Bills, just because we know how Sean McDermott is, his temperament, his demeanor, how he talks. And then if you've ever seen Terry Robiskie, he's one of the most brass, abrasive people I've ever experienced in terms of how he acts, how he interacts with players, how he talks. I mean, I think that you want certain characteristics in your positional coaches, right? I think that matters. But like Terry Robiskie, you just feel like he's just so far the opposite direction of McDermott that I just never saw that fit. Now, it's also interesting because obviously the Bills receiving core was not great this season. And, you know, not necessarily the most talented. I don't think anyone's going to say this is a good group of receivers, but there's three veterans in particular that, obviously, Kelvin Benjamin was the worst year of his career. Andre Holmes continued, you know, he got cut. Andre Holmes also got cut, but did nothing for this offense. And Jeremy Curley, who I thought was going to be a big piece of this offense based on the preseason, he didn't do anything. He was let go early in the season. And so you have those three veterans who didn't give you anything. And if anything, I would think Terry Robiskie would be able to get something to maximize those guys, but he didn't. And then, you know, we saw Zay Jones. He grew this year. That was exciting. Robert Foster, what an incredible story. Obviously becoming a very hopeful piece of this offense moving forward. Isaiah McKenzie came in and gave some juice, did some really good things late in the season. So I like some of those young guys and what they were able to do as the season went along. But in terms of getting something out of these veterans, Kelvin Benjamin, Jeremy Curley, Andre Holmes, didn't happen. So I think the silver lining with all three of the coaches that the Bills moved on from is that they failed to get the most out of their players. And it's unacceptable. And Sean McDermott, to his credit, moved on. And so hopefully he can get the right replacements. Obviously, you assume a lot of investments are going to be made on the special teams, the offensive line, and the wide receiver position this offseason. So getting the right mix of coaching and personnel, very, very important in year three under Sean McDermott. The Bills signed a new player, Duke Williams from the CFL. Want to get into that a little bit. He was with the Edmonton Eskimos. He was undrafted in the 2016 NFL draft. We'll get into that in just a second real quick, though. He did lead the CFL in catches last season in 18 games. He had 88 receptions for 1,579 yards and 11 touchdowns. He was a player that there's been reports that multiple teams were interested in bringing him in, and he signed with the Bills, which makes sense because there's an obvious need for the Bills in getting a wide receiver. I don't think we need to react too much to this, to be honest. We're talking about a futures contract in January from a CFL player. So let's get our expectations where they need to be for Duke Williams and how we can help this team. But Buffalo's given him a chance. And so let's talk about him. Let's get into him just a little bit. Obviously, where my mind goes with Duke Williams is the off-the-field stuff that was problematic for him in college. This is his background. Suspended for the bowl game with Auburn. He was suspended for 1 week of spring ball. He was kicked off the team early in the season for an altercation at a bar, including assaulting four people, including a former teammate and two security guards. That's not good. Those are bad things. And you get especially curious about it when you think about Sean McDermott, who preaches doing things the right way, having the right DNA, fitting what he wants to do. So this is not necessarily a player that when we think about where he was in 2015 and 2016, that would be a player that Buffalo had interest in bringing in. Now, by all indications, he's turned his life around. You've seen reports. You've probably read articles about that and how he's really a changed person. And I hope that's true. I'm for people. I root for people. But there's a lot of red flags about him several years ago that led to him being undrafted. He said himself, this is a quote from Duke Williams. He said, off the field, I'm a seventh round pick. My character is seventh round. He said it himself. I don't know him, never met him, but the man said it himself. Obviously, he didn't get drafted. He went to the CFL and had a couple of good seasons. Now he has a chance in the NFL. Duke Williams, his physical skill set, he's 6'2", 229, which is really good size. Good arm length, 32.5-inch arms. His athletic ability, terrible. Absolutely terrible. Look at his combine, or his testing. His combine testing. His 40-yard dash, 4.72. That's in the 2% tile for wide receivers. 98% of wide receivers at the NFL scouting combine run a better 40-yard dash. A 1.7 10-yard split, that's in the 1% tile. Horrible, horrible speed. A 30-inch vertical jump, that's in the 4% tile. Three-cone drill, 7.43, 1% tile. 20-yard shuttle, 4.47, that's in the 5% tile. He is in the less than 5% tile in 10-yard split, 40-yard dash, vertical jump, three-cone drill, and 20-yard shuttle. He had a respectable broad jump of 121 inches. That's a 57% tile. And his bench press, he did 14 reps at 225, which is in the 46th percentile. He's got height. He's got size. He's fairly strong. He can jump in terms of a broad jump. Abysmal. Abysmal athletic testing everywhere else. So just as much as his off-field issues worked against him getting drafted, his physical upside doesn't really give you much at all. You hope that he can be a power forward. But obviously, with this type of marginal athletic ability, you have questions about his ability to separate at the NFL level. That's something Josh Allen's going to need, guys that can get open. And, you know, I remember his days at Auburn. I scouted him. I gave him an undraftable grade based on these things, the off-field and this poor testing, which it's not just poor. It's agreed. It's awful. Awful. So he got an undrafted grade for me, but I did make notes about some of his ability at the catch point and positioning his frame and having it above the rim game. So if the Bills are looking for a power forward, maybe he can be that guy. I know that Kelvin Benjamin was supposed to be that guy and didn't give anything there. I think Duke has a long way to making this roster. He's going to have to pop on special teams. He's going to have to prove that he's a changed man. He's going to have to prove that maybe he's a more dynamic athlete than what his testing at the combine indicated. And obviously, that he's grown. He's grown as a player and a person, and he can help this team. So wanted to get into him because there's been a lot of takes on him on Twitter and articles and some resistance from people that are, why would the Bills bring this guy in? He had all these checkered pasts. It's not a big deal. It's a futures contract in January. So it's a chance. It means little. Bills have 90 roster spots. Let's see what he can do. I don't think there's much risk associated with this or too much to read into. We'll see. We'll see. I think that's probably the way to approach Duke Williams. We'll see, and don't expect very much. Last thing I want to get into recapping the early offseason news is Kyle Williams. Obviously retired. His final game as a Bill has happened. Talking about Kyle Williams' legacy for this team, for this franchise, for this community is very special. What he's meant, what he's been for the team and the community has been unbelievable. Fifth round pick that has really morphed himself into the heart and soul of the Buffalo Bills in a really dark era in terms of on-field results for Kyle Williams to be that bright spot, the guy that you loved rooting for 13 seasons. You knew he was going to give you everything he had and be a consummate pro and a leader and represent the Buffalo Bills well. Kyle Williams is everything, and he had a good career. And he's finishing off with a Pro Bowl. He's making his sixth Pro Bowl. He was the first alternate. He was voted as the first alternate for the event, and he's replacing Titans defensive tackle Jarrell Casey, who's unable to attend or participate with an injury late in the season. So Kyle Williams is in 13 seasons, six Pro Bowlers, and that's the second most ever by a Bills defensive player with six. And since I know you're curious about who has the most Pro Bowls in Buffalo Bills history, let's talk about it. Let's get into it real quick. The most, who do you think it is? Get your guesses in. 3, 2, 1. Bruce Smith, 11. 11 Pro Bowls for Bruce Smith. APL Pro 8 times. Billy Shaw and Reuben Brown are second. They both have 8. Steve Tasker had 7. Andre Reed had 7. And then you have the guys with 6. So joining O.J. Simpson, Mike Stratton, and Jack Kemp is Kyle Williams with 6 Pro Bowls as a Buffalo Bill, the third most by a defensive player, and a hell of a way to cap off a hell of a career. And we get to see him put on that Bills helmet one more time and represent the community and the team well, like he always does. So I'm very excited about that. Very happy that the Bills will have representation at the Pro Bowl. And honestly, couldn't be a better choice and a better person than Kyle Williams to be that guy representing the Bills in the Pro Bowl. Hopefully there's a lot more next season. That's going to wrap today. Really excited to start this, get this thing underway. Got a lot planned. Follow me on Twitter. I am at TheJoeMarino on Twitter. Make sure you're following the Locked On Bills Twitter, which is at Locked On Bills. And let's start this discussion. Let's do this thing. Let's have a lot of fun breaking down the Bills. We're not going to agree on anything, on everything, but there's going to be a lot of passion, a lot of good insight, reasoning for my takes, and we're going to carry this discussion forward. Talking about the Bills, that's as fun as it gets. And there's a lot to talk about this offseason. We got the positional breakdowns coming up starting tomorrow. We're going to get into the quarterbacks, and then we're going to sprinkle those in over the next few weeks with the Shrine Game and the Senior Bowl that are all on the horizon. Have some really cool stuff planned in the works. Kevin Masser, the previous host of the show, we're going to make sure that he's involved. Him and I have some ideas. We're going to sync up on some stuff, so we'll make sure that he still has a voice here and certainly respect the work that he did prior to me coming on in this position. And make sure you hit that subscribe button because we have a lot going on. And I know it's the off season, but our discussion about the Buffalo Bills will not end because there's no more games left to play on the schedule. So thank you for tuning in to my first episode as host of the Locked On Bills podcast. And I'm excited to keep doing this for you. Hit that subscribe button and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.